This is After the Credits, the home of correct movie opinions since 2007.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 354 of After the Credits. I am one of your co-hosts, Maureen Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Steve Stebbing.
Bill Harris.
And Melissa McDowell.
The gang is back together.
Yes.
Can I admit something? I didn't listen to the show last time. I don't know what happened. So you guys probably talked shit about me.
We talked so much shit about you, Bill.
The smack was real.
It was like friendship ending stuff. Like,
there is something really, really funny about the fact that I didn't listen to our show, but I watched Steve's.
Hey. Hey now.
That's why all the good stuff was coming from me, Bill.
Damn right.
I don't know how I feel about this admission.
I always watch Steve, so I'm a Friday morning.
Mine's an hour. Ours is 2 hours.
We were shorter last week. I think we were shorter.
I wonder why.
That's true. But sometimes on a general level, ours is an hour and 45 minutes long.
Yeah, subtract Bill, 45 minutes of the show disappears. All right, cool.
Look, it's just science, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure it was a great show.
It was one of the best, highest rated.
I think it might not have been definitive, but it was pretty good.
Yeah, I know. It was concise.
I did say it was still definitive. So
don't worry, I'm here to bring it back up to that level.
Nice, yeah. Nice.
All right. Well, welcome back, Bill. It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
We got some movies up on the docket today, including the movie of the week, which was not supposed to be our movie of the week, but this is just how the cookie crumbled. Predator Badlands.
What was the movie of the week?
I think it was going to be Running Man, right?
I think it was going to be Die My Love, and then it was Running Man was the default.
Okay, yes. And I wasn't able to make Die My Love.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spoiler. So. But I did see Running Man, so spoiler as well.
Yeah, well, Dan Kibosh that's going to see Running Man.
So Dan changed our movie.
He saw the reviews. He's like, no.
He changed it for the better in my
opinion. I think we dodged a bullet on this one.
I gotta praise Dan because I wasn't here last episode. I didn't talk about the movie marathon, but we're about halfway through the movie marathon and Dan looks at me and he's like, are they gonna play a horror film? I'm like, I love you, Dan. You're so great.
He does not give two fucks.
Is that before Wreck?
Yeah. No, before Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, there we go. Then at least he got his question answered.
I think he might have cheered a little when Texas Chainsaw Massacre started.
Nice.
I think the whole cinema cheered when Texas Chainsaw started.
Just for the record, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 5 stars, no notes. One of the greatest horror films ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and Wreck's pretty damn good too, actually.
So are we going to hyperbolize that Predator Badlands is the greatest Predator movie ever made?
Yes.
I disagree. I think the animated one is better storytelling wise, but this is pretty fucking good.
Yeah, to see the Predator in this is like his point of view story. He's an exiled Predator. And the fact that this movie has no chill, it just keeps moving. And I don't care if people want to say this Disney-fied because Bud is this cute little character.
You mean Grogu?
Yeah. Well, yeah, essentially, but it still fucking works out. And I don't know. This movie is a hell of a lot of fun. Elle Fanning is adorable and like menacing in this. Uh-huh. And Trachtenberg really has this IP on lock and keep bringing it. Like that little bit after the end credit where it's like, it's my mother. Like, I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. Let's go. I'll watch another movie right now. Like, let's just keep going, guys.
That's the movie I want to see. I want to see Mom.
Yeah, yeah. I've never seen a predator woman. Like, let's do this. Well, right.
So, or have we, do we know?
No, we probably don't even know.
I'm sure we're
as
gonna
far as
out.
I know, we haven't. It feels, sadly, it feels like a very patriarch-driven
I don't know, man. They thing, sound, they all sounded know. Kind of, they all sounded kind of scared about the fact that mom yeah. was pulling
yeah,
in.
Like, that's true.
I think the women are the ones to be feared here.
Yeah. But like we haven't seen that before then. Right. So I like that he's playing with this world, opening it up more. And with his crew and everything, it's all people that are developing shit with him. And I really like that as well. And his behind the stuff, scenes stuff has been really cool. And yeah, they made a Predator language and subtitled the fuck out of this movie, and it works. I dig the hell out of this movie and recommend it. Like, if you have to see this in theaters, like, this is one of those movies.
I really appreciated the fact that this was like PG-13 too, because I feel like I could actually take my nephews to this, because all of the, like, there's no violence against humans in this entire movie. It's all like creatures and synths.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, you can kind of get away with bringing younger folks to see this and you won't utterly traumatize them.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was rated PG-13, but this explains the two boys that were in the audience with their dad who kept having to get up like every 45 minutes. I swear to God, they got up like three times because somebody, I guess, needed to pee. And apparently a 13-year-old can't go by himself. I don't know, dude.
Don't buy 4 liters of Coke and expect
to do what they're doing. I don't know. But I was like, why would anybody bring their children to this? But now that makes sense. I didn't actually think about it, but
I didn't notice that I paid to see this in IMAX 3D because I used a voucher. And it actually kind of worked.
Wow.
Like, really? Yeah, the 3D is good on it?
It actually wasn't terrible. I was like, actually kind of works. I thought this was fun, but I just don't kind of feel weird about the Disneyfication of the Predator franchise. This feels like a Star Wars / whatever movie you want to make it. They're trying to, like, even to the point where, like, as I said, like, Bud is Grogu. Like, they're almost to the point, like, let's sell a doll. Like, I don't know. It's fun. And Elle Fanning is incredible in this film. I think she's really watchable. And the guy, what the hell was his name? I wrote it down. Demetrius Schuster Kolomatangi.
Yeah.
Very good.
He's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the action is fun. And as you guys were saying, like, every time something, like, at the beginning, Elle Fanning kills a, like, something, and it all you see is her, like, her arm going up and down and stuff flying. You don't actually see the violence. Like, that's the PG-13 of it. And I praise the best Predator film.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Praise
okay all. Okay yeah yeah
okay
yeah.
I don't know.
All right, fine.
There was just something from I don't know, so kitsch value of having this one from the Predator point of view. Yeah. And I don't know, on the deadliest planet there is, where there's like razor grass and shit like that.
That's the stuff I really like the razor grass and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool.
And him bringing it together to be his like armor and stuff at the end of the movie, I was like, fuck yes.
It's MacGyver time.
Yeah, I was like, fuck yes. I don't even care how corny it could come off. Even with his, you know, his dart shooting snake on his fucking shoulder, like, bring it. It's still so fucking cool. I am so won over by this movie.
I also kind of enjoy the fact that the quote-unquote run to the litter is like a complete badass.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
And to see a Predator kind of emote, like,
yeah,
like how, like, you know, and change
and tell more or less like dad jokes.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of this movie.
Yeah, this was the good action film of the show.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm going to say so far.
I think we might align. Not I might land on a better side of it than you, but yeah, we might align a little bit.
I think it's really interesting between this and Prey too, how much this franchise is leaning into Indigenous solidarity as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because that like fully comes across here as well. Like you can tell immediately that this movie is filmed in New Zealand. Like, it's just so obvious. It's like so Middle Earth with a different filter on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, he seems like an indigenous character. And then the way that he interacts with this new planet, and that sort of, it goes from this antagonistic relationship to like really living with the planet and all of its beings and plant life and stuff. I thought that was really cool. I thought that was a really cool aspect of it.
Also, if you're like a NPC in the background and you get destroyed by a pair of legs, you probably should be fired.
That was some action sequence.
Yeah, it was really well choreographed.
Oh my god! Like, there is a lot of stuff in this movie. Like, I haven't fucking seen that before. Yeah, like, that's wild. Yeah, I honestly, there's a lot of this movie I just kind of like had my mouth open, smile like, like, what the fuck? Yeah. I dug it, and his, you know, the laser sword, all that stuff.
And so, Marina.
Yes.
Dan Trachtenberg.
I know. I already took it back, dude.
Dan Trachtenberg.
It's fine. He can keep making Predator movies as long as they keep being good. No issues with me whatsoever.
So according to the name of that show, are we going to start kissing Dan Trachtenberg's ass?
Fuck no. We don't kiss anybody's ass here.
Okay.
Come on. I will grant him that he can tell a pretty decent Predator story. Yeah. And every time, I have to admit, like, I always feel like such a noob, because every time I see a Watani thing in a Predator movie, I'm like, I keep forgetting this is in the same fucking universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are we giving Trachtenberg Alien?
I hope not. Can I just throw it out there? No.
We don't need a PG-13 alien.
No,
movie.
We do not need a PG-13 alien.
I wanted to see a Neil Blomkamp alien, if we're being honest. The one that him and Sigourney Weaver were kept cooking up. I wanted to see that one.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen at this
point. No, it won't. It won't. But Sigourney Weaver hasn't stopped talking about it.
Yeah, I had such high hopes for Noah Hawley, but he kind of didn't stick the landing on that one.
Yeah, it's still not over, but
I still
half's a lot better than the back half. I will 100% agree with that. I'm still into it, but I will agree that the quality dipped a bit.
I am only into it because of the eyeball creature. The
eyeball creature is so creepy.
It's so good. Yeah. And the goat and everything. It's so good. Yeah. And the story with Kid Prodigy, like that back and forth, I find really interesting. Because I find Kid Prodigy still very unpredictable as a character. And I kind of like that. The smartest kid, the first trillionaire and the smartest kid in the world or whatever. In the galaxy. Well, it didn't fall off as quickly as it, Welcome to Derry, did, because third episode of that is truly atrocious. Like, there's a scene in that is just fucking awful. And it just reminds me that Andy Muschietti made it chapter two so terrible. And it's just like, oh, yeah, quick reminder, because episode one was great. Episode two had some cool stuff to it. And then it lost me with episode three. I'm hoping it picks up today.
Hoping it picks up.
Oh, but it's,
you son of a bitch.
See, in Zencaster, I would have a snare drum that I could put there. But,
nice.
I don't know. I'm not ready to give up on Fede Alvarez on another Alien movie, to be honest.
But he is.
I like Romulus.
Yeah, he is.
He is. He already did. He already gave up. So
sad.
I don't know.
Sad day. Hey,
totally off topic, just because you brought up Fede Alvarez, and just by extension, producer of his former. What do you think of the trailer for Send Help? Have you seen this trailer?
I thought it was a cool trailer, actually.
Yeah, it's Rachel McAdams. Yeah, another airplane ride from hell.
Dylan O'Brien.
She crash lands on an island with Dylan O'Brien, who's her boss, who's like a tech bro piece of shit.
Think it looks awesome.
Yeah.
I'll watch Rachel McAdams in anything. So
yeah, I'm kind of totally down. And it's Sam Raimi in an it feels more thriller than horror, but we'll see.
As soon as the name Sam Raimi came on the screen, I'm like, let's fucking go.
Yeah. No shit.
I'm here for the Sam Raimi redemption angle.
Yeah. Cause I'm like, I'm trying, cause it's like, of the like more Hollywood IP that's coming out in the first couple months next year, I'm trying to get excited for some stuff maybe. Because I mean, there's just odd ones out there, like Primate and like just like weird ones coming up, but like Crime 101, which just I think feel like they just started showing those trailers with Chris Hemsworth. So I don't know. I'm trying to find something campy to get behind.
I'm trying to figure out what the last thing Rich McAdams was in. I don't remember. Oh, probably Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. I think that might be the last thing I saw her in.
Which was great.
Which was great.
I like Kelly Freeman Craig, though. I think she's a really great filmmaker.
That might be the last one. Okay, sorry, I got totally sidetracked by Rachel McAdams. Thanks to happen.
I think we're still predatoring anyway, so we're just tailing off.
So do we have anything more to say about Predator, or are we good on Predator?
I think people should see it if you want to see a kick-ass action movie and kind of the reason why we go to the movies.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. I'd recommend it as well.
I saw your Letterboxd star rating, Steve. You're not saying something you probably should be saying with that rating.
Is he gonna do it?
I would say that it's one of the best movies of the year.
Nice.
I would hate to be your top 10 list.
Trademark.
Oh my god. Yeah. It's funny because we're gearing on the radio spot I do with Shane. We're gearing up for the annual Stebby Awards, which is like our little radio things that we do annually. This is the sixth annual. And I'm like, I love and hate this time of the year so much.
My critics group is already voting.
What?
What?
Yeah. How's that possible?
For Canadian stuff, but like we're already voting for stuff.
Okay. Jesus Christ. I'm getting screeners like emailed to me. But
I haven't seen like half of the stuff that's in contention.
Yeah.
I'd be fucked, but whatever. It's not about me. So it doesn't matter.
don't want to. I don't know if anybody from the critics group I'm in listens, but I voted for Blue Heron as the number one.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Number one Canadian film?
No, Cascadian film.
Oh, Cascadian. So
BC, Oregon, Seattle, all that stuff.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah.
And Train Dreams at number two.
Where's Strange Dreams out of
Oregon?
Okay.
See, I don't know any of those.
Mastermind
ones.
would have been too, right?
Yeah.
Oh, right. I think so.
It could be. The ending
of that film.
Wedding Banquet was also on my ballot because it's
awesome. Good.
And yeah, it was good.
It's been so crazy that I forget Wedding Banquet came out this year.
I know.
And that I have to put it in my top 10 contention.
Listen, I'm still shocked that Warfare is from this year.
Holy shit. Yeah.
I know. This I keep thinking scary. About this. I'm like, this is fucking scary.
Really scary.
Steve shortlist is like 85.
I know. I really like if I'm being honest and kind of predictable, I do feel like one battle is kind of like locked. If I'm being really honest. So.
I really hope it's not, but yeah.
It does feel so like this one's hard to move. This is the measuring stick, and I don't think any of you are getting really close to it. There are some really great films, but One Battle is just, I don't know, for me it's such so different.
Yeah. Conrad Josh needs a better name. It just does. Yeah.
You gotta feel for a character that used to be really smart and used to be like a go-to guy who's now just a fucking burnout that just loves to smoke weed and just do nothing and hide out.
We tried to watch One Battle yesterday and then we sat down and I saw the running time. I'm like, this is not happening. It's already 11 o'clock. It's not happening tonight. This is a movie from maybe like Friday.
This is like the countdown. This is like the amount of episodes that we go by that Marina hasn't seen this film yet.
It's 3 fucking hours long, dude. Like, that's a
no,
lot.
No, I understand. I've seen it 3 times. I understand. I very much understand how
that's
long
a long time.
Is.
Like, by the time I finish work and I have dinner, it's like 7:30. It's like midnight by the time you're done that movie. And you need to get up in the next morning. Jesus. I'm old. I go to bed at 10:30. I don't actually, but I also can't watch anything that starts too late because then I will not concentrate in the last hour. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. So But okay, I'm sidetracked.
That's not possible with one battle. By just by the way, like you will not lose interest in the last hour. That won't happen.
No, it's really
incredible. Oh my God.
All right, so I will watch it before we next speak. I promise. I really intended to watch it last night, and it just didn't happen. So we watched SNL instead, and it was fabulous.
Was that Glenn Powell Fall Out Boy video actually real? And the monologue?
It's so good. I think so it is.
Good.
Yeah.
It was so good. Yeah.
He had photos to prove it.
Yeah.
And it seems like the kind of thing that he would do because he's Glenn Powell.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. And he's still going to university.
Yeah. He's going to college.
His degree as well. The guy's busy and fucking
they're like, smart. You mean he's an honorary degree? He's like, no, I'm actually doing the thing.
Actually, I'm currently, smart.
He's the best.
I have some things to say about Mr. Powell later.
Okay, well, who wants to go first? Like, you guys need to unload on Running Man, because at this point.
I can go first. Or do you want me to do Running Man first?
Do Running Man, guys. Like, just let's out with it. How bad is this thing?
Well, I don't think it's bad. It's my least favorite Edgar Wright film, and that's putting Last Night in Soho ahead of it, which I did like. I haven't disliked an Edgar Wright film, but Running Man gets really fucking close to it because there are two major cop-outs in this film, and one comes in the second act, and it's kind of like, oh, okay, fine, whatever. I'll forgive it a little bit because it's kind of funny. But the one in the third act is so egregiously upsetting. Like it was really like, fucking really? That's what you're gonna do with your third act?
But the way
gonna peter out through the to an ending that's just like,
yeah, but the way I thought about it is, if you haven't read the book, you don't know it.
Well, that's true. And I was always, because I read the book when I was like 13.
Yeah,
right?
So did I. But
it's like, I always knew this was going to be really hard to do the actual ending. But at the same, I really don't like how they did it. There's better ways that we could have done this. I like Glenn Powell in this movie. I like the pissed offness of Ben Richards. Brolin's okay. Coleman Domingo is fine as Bobby T.
Bobby T.
it was okay.
My main problem is probably Glenn Powell.
Really?
How do you cast a guy with charisma for days and then make him the angriest person in the world who has no charisma? He's just very angry the entire film, and it's just very one note to me. Mm-hmm. Even though I think he's still good, like he's an action star. You can tell it. Like he's very, feels like he's made to make action films, and he's very good in the action role. I just want him to show a little charisma and actually be Glenn Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no development in the character. He has a family.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
Yeah. There's nothing there. No character has development. It's fine. It's like, okay. Like it's watchable enough, I guess. But if you've read the book, you're going to have problems.
Yeah.
And I understand that there's no way they can shoot that ending.
No. Especially post 9/11. There's no fucking way. That's happening.
I'm not really a Edgar Wright fan. Other than maybe like the first like half of Baby Driver. Like I fucking hate Hot Fuzz. There's my hot take of the episode.
That was like an arrow to my heart, man.
Sorry.
Bill and I are on the same vibe. I have never been an Edgar Wright fan. I've never really understood what the appeal was.
Good.
Yeah, I really like Shaun of the Dead, but after that, they're all really messy. So, I mean, I don't know. We were underwhelmed by the presentation we saw of IF, to be too completely honest. Yeah, I was like, I don't know, this movie, the clips that we saw and the behind the scenes stuff, we were like, so I can't say I'm too surprised.
Yeah.
I'll still see it. Do not get me wrong. I will watch a Glenn Powell movie any day of the week. I'm just glad I did not see it in theaters.
Yeah. So watch it on Netflix.
Question for Bill and Steve. So did you love the Arnold Schwarzenegger Running Man?
I
have I haven't seen that film since I was a kid, so I couldn't tell you if I actually like it now or not.
I can tell you I love it at the time.
It's like barely inspired by the book too, right? Like it doesn't follow, it's just
loosely story taken and then just tailored for Arnie.
It
must have been really weird to see Richard Dawson in that film back in the day. Like, I was a young kid when that came out. Richard Dawson was a pretty big game show dude, and like the fact that he was like the guy in that, that's
like a real asshole, the guy.
That was pretty cool
playing Damon Killian.
It still plays really well. We saw it not that long ago. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Like, I've never read the short story, and judging if the new one is closer to the short story, it's very clearly very different. Because the trailer, I was like, this is The Running Man, because this does not seem like the same thing that I remember from the 80s. But yeah, I love the Arnie version.
I love the Arnie version too, and especially because I love Maria Conchita Alonso.
She's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
She's so good at it. She rocks that cat suit thing, dude.
Damn right.
So good.
Those outfits are awesome. Yeah.
I like the little pellet shooting things that they get into to go into the underground. It's just
the luge.
Yeah, it's just it's a weird little movie, but it plays. Yeah. It's aged really well.
One thing I will say about the new one that I did like was Michael Cera, even though I find his patchy beard really distracting. Learn how to shave. Okay. I don't know. He's quite good. And the stuff at his house is quite fun. Emilia Jones shows up for like,
it's like
10 minutes.
It's the weirdest shift in the film too, because it almost like adds her as another character, another late added character.
Yeah, I'm like, was this
out of nowhere? Yeah, it feels weird. Yeah. It feels like kind of interjected. And I was going to bring that up. Yeah, that the Emilia Jones stuff is weird.
Yeah.
Weird stuff. And then she kind of goes out through the third act as well. And you're like, okay, like, that's odd. Just an odd choice.
Test audience didn't like so-and-so.
So they replaced the ending with something else. Yeah. It's exactly what it sounds. It sounds like there's a lot of this movie that does feel like Edgar Wright had a different idea, and Paramount was like, nah, I don't know about that.
Yeah, this almost feels like, we said this a lot this year, but this, you know, this feels like it's not an Edgar Wright film. Like, no. It's like we said that, like I haven't talked about it. Did I talk about Roofman? Roofman does not feel like a
Derek Cianfrance movie.
Like, where the hell did that come from? Like, stuff like
that. And that's Paramount as well, too, isn't it?
I have thoughts on that. I think the DNA does have Derek's fingers.
Okay.
Wright did say this is the fastest that he's ever done a film. So, I wonder if The Rush was part of
crazy, because this movie is glossy and expensive.
Yeah, it cost over $100 million.
Yeah. So for him to be like, this was quick. Like, holy fuck.
But I mean, they also did, pretty much all the effects are practical. All the stunts are practical. Glenn Powell was on Hot Ones talking about the stunts, and it looks freaking insane.
Well, then they're one take bandits then, if they're able to move through everything that quickly and just.
I think it was the offer from the studio for him to make the movie to the time that they started shooting was the quickest he's ever had. So I think like you lost on the prep time rather than the actual filming time.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I would say see it if it's cheap at a theater and on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's going to be on Paramount Plus.
It's not bad.
Yeah, like, for sure.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Yeah, it's fine. Like, it's
all right.
It's like Arnie one is on Netflix now.
Yes.
Watch that if you haven't seen it before. Yeah, exactly.
Highly recommended. Endorsed by Marina and Melissa. So there.
Well, I can keep cruising if you
want. Yeah, go for it, Steve.
James DeMonaco's new film, you know, the guy that did The Purge. So he's branching out with a new film, and he decides, I'm going to make old people horror with Pete Davidson in a film where Pete Davidson reacts to horrific things around him like he saw a booger on a wall or something. Like there, he's so, there is like such a limit to his fear in this film, and it's fucking hilarious. It does pick up for a, like, because it's jump scare and shock horror throughout, and then just a wild gore fest third act finish that makes it that part an enjoyable watch, but it's really just almost a comedic watch.
What is this thing even called?
It's called The Home. Yeah.
Wow. He's straying far.
yeah. It was just, I don't know, an old people are scary film. And
all right.
Yeah. Again, he's also trying, DeMonico's also trying to say something about the elite as well in this. And he's kind of got like a one note. But yeah, not good. Begonia. Holy fuck. Yorgos did it again. What an incredible face off between Emma Stone and Jesse Plemons in this film. Some of a couple of the two greatest scene partners of the year, in my opinion. But Aiden Delbis, who plays Jesse Plemons' character's cousin, is just like
heartbreaking
and tragic, and like this movie had me on the edge of my seat. I drove out to Kelowna to see it, and in the afternoon, and it pinned me to my seat. It is such an incredibly well done film. The score is amazing, just so unsettling, and third act insanity from Yorgos. Just really, really great stuff. Alicia Silverstone is in this film, playing Jesse Plemons' mom, which I think she's only like a decade older than him, so that's kind of fucking weird. And then Stavros, Stabby Baby, was in this film playing this weird cop with a definite creepy past that did something to Jesse Plemons as a kid that's like really creepy, and I don't know what it is, but knowing Yorgos is something deeply, deeply, deeply fucked up. And Begonia is one of the best movies of the year.
Yeah,
there we go.
I may actually, now that you guys have both endorsed it, I might be able to convince Dan to go and see it. I've been trying so for a week and wacky. A half. And I almost had him on Friday, and he's like, I don't really want to go to the movies. We've already gone to the movies once this week. I'm like, oh, fine. So hopefully this week, this is the one I really want to see on the
Disney. I want to watch it again now that I know what the ending is. I want to watch it again.
Oh, I can't wait.
There's, yeah.
I gotta say, I'm a bit shocked that this is Focus. I didn't know. Yeah. I assumed it was a neon title. Just assumed. So when the neon title started coming in, I'm like, oh, I'm finally going to get to see Begonia. And I'm like,
We will be getting Begonia then.
I don't know.
Focus will send theirs. Focus had sent theirs out last year, so.
I hope they do. I really want to see
how,
this. But I really want to see this in the
Nosferatu,
theater.
So.
I really want to see this in the theaters, though.
It definitely is a movie to see in theaters, for sure. For sure.
I'll talk about it in a bit.
Okay. I caught up with the Thursday Murder Club. It was okay.
I liked that movie. I don't know why. I felt dirty, but I liked it.
Yeah, it's very Chris Columbus. It's very, like, I don't know. I've been knived out, and my mystery, I don't know, maybe the script wasn't up to what I wanted it to be, but I thought it was okay. I don't really have a lot to say about that one. And before, this movie's not even out yet. It doesn't come out until November 28th, but I went to the mystery movie at Landmark this past Monday, and it was a film called Eternity with Miles Teller, Elizabeth Olsen and Callum Turner, which actually all filmed in Vancouver.
Looks great. I mean, I'm sorry.
It was fun.
Gonna fall in love with somebody, there are two very good looking people.
Wow. Yeah. Callum Turner is a really good looking dude for sure.
Yeah, he is.
Mr. Really Dua Lipa? Well. Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding, right? And he's smart too. So hey.
Well, I said on my show, I was like, so okay, so in Vancouver, Miles Teller was there. That's fucking cool because I like Miles Teller. Elizabeth Olsen was there, and that's really cool because I adore Elizabeth Olsen. And Callum Turner was there. That's cool. So that means was Dua Lipa in Vancouver?
Probably.
I would say no, she was busy.
She was on tour.
Yeah. During that time, yeah, I guess
I think so. She's been on tour for like well over a year, so.
But I don't know. I really dug this movie. It felt like in some of the look, it felt a little like corduroy, like Wes Anderson-y a little bit in that, but also towards the side of like Alexander Payne. But the filmmaker that I kept thinking about while watching this movie a lot was Albert Brooks. They felt like it had a kind
defending
of like a,
your life. Yeah.
Yeah. It had like an Albert Brooks quality to it. Cause the really interesting thing about these characters and they're trying to like, they're fighting over Elizabeth Olsen, for, you know, eternity, is Miles Teller's character was an old man. Like he choked on a pretzel and died. That's how he ended up in the afterlife. And he was an old man. So all of his sensibilities are like an old dude. And he plays that shit really well, I think, in the movie. And then Callum Turner's character, he died in the war and then just like waited there as a bartender to
the Korean War.
Yeah. The Korean War. Did you see this film as well?
I have seen it.
Okay, so you have things to say about it, I'm sure. I don't know the filmmaker behind it at all. So that one was new to me. But yeah, I kind of dug this film. Most of the times I go to these mystery movies, I've seen the film already. Like the last one they did, the movie was Christie. And I'm like, oh, I've already seen this film. So, but as soon as the A24 thing came on screen, I was like super intrigued. I'm like, oh, okay, what's this going to be? And then as soon as I saw the first credit, I was like, oh, I know what this is. This is that trailer I was barely paying attention to the last time I saw it.
So Cineplex had these two, and they put the exact runtime of Now You See Me 3. So everybody thought it was Now You See Me 3. So the crowd was super pissed because they wanted to see that.
And what was the movie?
Eternity.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also a friend of mine saw it in Toronto and texted me 2 hours before it started. I was like, yeah, it's Eternity.
Nice.
And I'm like, all right, cool.
I usually Mark lets me know, but he didn't let me know on this one.
Yeah.
And I have one tomorrow night that I have no idea what it is too. It's the Thrills and Chills edition. So it's not the horror edition. So it's probably some kind of thriller. And it's an hour and a half, I think, exactly. So I don't know what this movie is tomorrow. But besides Running Man, I did see the other two releases that came out this weekend as we're recording. I saw Osgood Perkins' Keeper, which it's getting a lot of shit. It's like a 52% rotten on Rotten Tomatoes. Like it's getting a lot of shit, but I think I liked it. I don't think Rossif Sutherland is very good in it. And his accent, it was really weird to me. It just rolls off my eardrum really weird. And I don't like it. I can't even place where it's from. And, but Tatiana Maslany is fucking amazing.
As always.
And the fact
Regina's favorite daughter,
she's so damn good. And the fact that Osgood is toying with you in the shadows for a large part of this film before going batshit crazy in the end is so subtle. I think this movie really grew on me the more I thought about it. And it does have the shot that most unsettled me this year. There's a moment in this film that I felt really like, ugh, like creepy inside, like just inside my whole being, like cringed. I was like, ugh, I do not like that. So his imagery, even with the films that don't really hit in his repertoire, there's always something you'll take away from it. But I think I liked Keeper. I think I go against the grain on that one.
Osgood Perkins, investor in the Park Theater.
Yes, he's a hero. He's a Vancouver hero, and I'll never have a bad word to say about Osgood Perkins. But I will say, if I don't like one of his films, then I don't think Keeper was one of the films that I dislike.
Hey, did I say that the 70 millimeter is going to be at International Village? You didn't hear that from me.
Oh, shit. Well, that's good to know.
You didn't hear that from me. I've only seen pictures. It's fine.
Beautiful. And finally, the movie that Bill mentioned, actually, Now You See Me, Now You Don't.
I still can't believe that there are now three of these movies.
They greenlit that movie in 2015, and Now You See Me 2 didn't even come out till June 2016. So they were banking on making this movie for 10 years and a year and a bit before the second one came out. It doesn't even make any fucking sense. The first one was barely passable. And the second one was downright awful. And the big reason I cannot stand this questionable franchise is the fact that they can do anything they want and then dispel it with magic and illusion. And it's all such bullshit. I fucking hate it. It is the stupidest loophole. And it shows you why each of these films has 4 to 5 screenwriters on them. It smacks of studio desperation. Lionsgate wants another franchise so fucking badly, but they don't know how to execute them. And
I mean, but they have to be paying way too much money. This cast is enormous.
I know, this cast is really big. The movie is really slick and expensive looking at all times.
I will take any opportunity to see Rosamund Pike on screen.
There is one redeeming quality about this film.
Rosamund Pike.
And it is Rosamund Pike's accent.
Oh, yeah. The South African accent. Yeah. It is so
theatrical. She is going for it.
She's in a Bond movie.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Straight up. She is in a Bond movie, and she is going for the gusto on that one. Everyone's just so playing into their stereotypes so badly that using a terrible script, and there is a full sequence of them just all showing off magic stuff, and it's stupid and it makes no sense. And if my eyes rolled so hard, they might have fallen out of my skull. Like it was so bad. It was like a 5-6 minute sequence with like music and everything. It was terrible, terrible, terrible.
Skip?
I felt like a hostage.
I totally forgot that Dave Franco's character, literally his like thing is he throws cards at people.
Yeah.
Gambit. Yeah.
Card foo.
Yeah.
Gambit. He thinks he's Gambit, guys.
He's Gambit, but shittier.
Yeah. Shitty Gambit.
Yeah, shitty Gambit. Because Gambit's kind of badass.
He's worse than Taylor Kitsch Gambit.
Yeah.
I'm like, do I hate Taylor Kitsch Gambit? I don't hate Taylor Kitsch Gambit.
No, he just doesn't look nothing like the character.
Well, no, but I still don't hate nothing. It.
No.
I still don't hate it.
That's fair. But yeah, that's all I got. That's what I saw yesterday.
So wait, is that a don't see it?
That was a don't see it. That was I saw it just for completion's sake so I could put it on the show.
Oh boy.
Okay, and I don't hate Jesse Eisenberg. I don't. He just bugs me. So he like trades in anxiety for cockiness in this film, and I don't think he wears it very well. And I mean, now so Dominic Sessa goes from Holdovers, which he's fantastic in, to this film where she's just kind of annoying, and to Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, Sessa kind of like tries to out-prick Jesse Eisenberg in this film. Like, yeah. That's not a very good trait, dude.
No,
don't do it.
I hate both of your characters now.
Yeah. Yikes. I saw a few things. Let me go through my list fairly quickly. Ballad of a Small Player, Edward Berger's new film.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not very good. It's not even very good. It's not good at all. Calm Film is really not great. I do love this setting. The movie oozes an atmosphere that is kind of amazing. I just wish the movie was good. Because it does have like this, like just the setting is just beautiful. And it's beautifully captured. I just wished I liked the story more. And Fala Chen is great. And there's the old grandma who is trying to take him for all his money is like the best thing in the entire movie. She's fantastic. It looks beautiful. It's just not a very good movie. Good Fortune. Guys, you didn't tell me that this was one of the best movies of the year.
It's so good.
We did tell you that.
We did tell you that.
No, you told me it was good.
No, I think I contend it's one of the best comedies of the year.
I would take even comedy out of that. I think it's just one of the best movies of the year, period. It does not take itself too seriously, but it is really, really insightful in what it's trying to say and what it is saying. Mm-hmm. And it is just really insightful and really smart and really gets at this, you know, the concept of like where we are culturally, where, mm-hmm. you know, the rich are really rich and everybody else is just flailing around trying to make something for themselves. And it's just so good. And Keanu Reeves, I know I'm biased because I love Keanu, but fuck, he's so good here.
Destroyed Keanu is incredible.
He's got my favorite line of the year, I think, which is Seth Rogen is like, look at you, Gabriel, you're smoking now. He's like, leave me alone. It's all I have.
It's really good and really funny and also really fucking sad. And it's such a good movie.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a
beautiful film. Yeah.
An amazing message. They don't knock you over the head with it. It's so good. Win, win, win all around. And I both really, really loved it. Thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. The Smashing Machine. Disappointing.
Well, I was kind of with you on that.
I think this movie tries really hard to be something cool, and it's just not. It's Dwayne Johnson isn't very good.
Emily Blunt drove me nuts.
I know, which is shocking. How do you do that? You wasted this. They make her out to be like the biggest bitch in the entire universe. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's who she actually was. I have no clue. She just feels, the whole thing just feels really fake and glossy. I didn't care for this movie at all. I don't know.
He's such a super likable, nice guy. And she's just like so mean to him for like the entire film.
Yeah. I felt that did disservice to him and to her.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really care for it. I thought it felt too long. For the story, it felt like it was 5 years and it's only like 3 years. I don't know. The whole thing just didn't really work for me. I will say I really liked the visual approach to it. The fact that they kind of shot it in period and it looks kind of grainy and it kind of has like this worn look. I appreciated that, but the movie itself I didn't care for. Andres Vail's Riefenstahl documentary is fucking brilliant. I know that there's always been I'm sure it's not the only Riefenstahl documentary that's kicking around out there. This one has some really damaging, I guess, footage from that's been previously unreleased from interviews that she did over the course of her life. Seeing it all together, stitched the way it is hugely problematic. But then I also thought, but she, like, who was there to defend her? Does she need defending? Like, it feels very purposeful. Like somebody clearly went out with this intention of, you know, saying something about her, which they've achieved. And it feels both dirty and kind of like, also like maybe she, like the rope is there for her to hang herself, essentially, is what I'm getting at. I found it a really difficult watch, not only because of the footage, but just, it just made me feel really uncomfortable. I don't know why, just the whole thing, the way that it's brought together. I appreciate it. I thought it was a really interesting film. The more I think about it, the more problematic I think it is. But I think it's a really fascinating documentary and some of that footage is... Yeah, that footage is out there. The Marlee Matlin documentary, on the other hand,
fantastic. I think it's still my documentary of the year. I think
it's so good. And I love the fact that it's, you know, directed by a deaf director and you get the whole that end sequence where they're like, you know, measuring the room and they're like, it's for the hearing people.
And
I'm like,
yeah,
I love
because the, and they're questioning it and they're I love it too.
I felt like such an outsider, which I thought was fantastic, and I didn't realize how influential she was in getting closed captioning. As like, I take it for granted, I watch a lot of shit with closed captioning on now, and I didn't realize that like she had a big role to play in that. So yay. And Henry Winkler just comes across as like the nicest human being.
Yeah.
I don't know. Every time I see interviews with him, I'm like, wow, you seem like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
Like a genuinely kind person. So there's that. Roofman. I fucking love this movie.
Yeah. Great film.
I don't know if I love it. It was really fun to watch. I think Channing Tatum is really great. Kristen Dunst is fantastic. And I do think that this has Cian France all over it, because his movies are always about troubled relationships and individuals who are flawed that are trying to like find something in, like they're trying to fix themselves by being in a relationship with someone else. And this is exactly the DNA of this character. He is a deeply flawed human being who tries to find redemption in love, and he can't find it in his own family, so he finds another family to kind of fill that gap for him. So I see that in the DNA, which would be appealing to Cian France. Beyond that, yeah, it does not feel like a Cian France movie at all.
Without the crushing bleakness.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's still pretty sad, though. Like, at the end of the day, you still have this guy. What I think is interesting is how they actually make him really, really appealing, and you really feel for this guy, like, wow, like he comes across as so nice that you start to feel for him. Then you realize, but he did all of this and he knew exactly what he was doing. And then even after he got caught that second time, he still tried to escape like three more times. Like he is not a nice person, but yet we love him. And in part, we love him because Channing Tatum is so likable.
Mm-hmm. A skinnier Channing Tatum too.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Being Eddie, the Eddie Murphy documentary, just skip it.
So sanitized.
Nobody needs to see this. Yeah, it's pointless. Like, why did I spend an hour and a half watching this thing?
Are we taking a buffer to Eddie's career? Is that what? But that's the point of a lot of these Netflix ones, like the Sly Stallone one, the Charlie Sheen one. Like, it's just like, oh, we just need to improve the image a little bit. So let's just do these fluff piece. I think the only one that was close that was actually showing, trying to show his skeletons in his closet and stuff was the Arnie one. Like, he felt like more forthcoming in that one. And all these other ones just feel like bland facsimiles.
I think one of you might have mentioned that it's documentaries when people are still alive that are always problematic.
The Paul Rubens one's really good.
Okay. HBO though. HBO takes, I don't know. There's something about when Netflix takes their stance on a celebrity.
I think it just depends on who's produced it. This just felt completely unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, okay, so you're a genius, you're very funny, give me more. Like, it was just such a boring watch. Dan fell asleep. And he's like, what happened? I'm like, nothing. You know Eddie Murphy's career.
Like,
it is.
He doesn't work for like a 5-year period. They kind of didn't mention that he got arrested.
No, not mentioned.
Forgot about that. Okay.
So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Don't bother. It's not worth your time or effort. In Your Dreams, Alex Wu's new, well, I guess it's his feature film animation debut. I don't know what you want to say.
Heard it's cute.
It's really good. It's really beautiful. Like, it looks really great. I love how real it feels. Like, there are just these little quirks in this movie that feel really authentic that I just really love. Like, clearly, like, some of the facial expressions, some of their interactions, just some of the stuff that they do around the house. And you're like, oh, clearly, like, this feels like real life. I thought it was really, really sweet, very fun. We all enjoyed it, including my 9-year-old niece, who doesn't like animated movies anymore unless it's gold. It's K-pop Demon Hunters. So she, it's Chloe approved. Dan and I approved it. 2 thumbs up all around. We thought it was nice. Very sweet. Worth seeing. And then I watched Eden, the Ron Howard movie. And you're all wrong.
About this
You're all wrong. This movie is fucking genius. I love this movie.
Is it?
I don't know if it's genius, but Dan and I love this movie. We thought it was endlessly fascinating. And after I watched it, it's all I read about for a week. I was I need to know about all these
interesting.
People.
I want to see it now.
Actually. I also caught up with this movie, and the story itself is insane.
It's crazy.
But also, did you not, I felt so sorry for poor Daniel Brühl, because he's the only actual German in this movie, and he had to sit there and listen to every single cast member do some bizarre fucking accent that was supposed to be a German accent.
I know,
all terrible. They're all fucking awful.
This is even better for me to go see this, to watch this movie. It's on Prime now or something. I gotta watch this. I'm gonna watch it tonight.
But the accents are awful. Ana de Armas's accent is purposefully awful because she's supposed to be doing this continental European bullshit. But the rest of them are supposed to sound German and they don't. Awful.
No, they're all terrible.
Jude Law, especially, I was like, come on, guy. At least try.
He doesn't care.
He's supposed to not have any teeth, and I think they were supposed to take them out in post, and they kept forgetting because there's all these scenes where you see his teeth. I'm like, come on, you guys.
I honestly didn't even really pay attention to those little details. I honestly was just shocked by every turn of this movie, and then you go reading about it, and you're like, holy shit, this all actually happened. It's so crazy. Oh, it's so crazy. I thought it was great.
It's a super interesting story that is based on a real story.
Yes.
The first clue that the thing is going to go off the rails is the fact that it centers around a German who's gone away to a deserted island to write the philosophy that will save mankind. Because, all of these philosophies that have come out of Germany have been so beneficial to the
UK. Okay, with his lover, who was married to somebody else, and he was married to somebody else. But none of that is Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And she has MS.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's apparently gone with him because being in the wild there is going to save her. The whole thing. Listen, it's completely unhinged. The performance is unhinged. The story is just so insane. It's crazy.
Don't we also have our good genes in this too? Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, good genes is in this too. She's whatever.
That she thinks the ad speaks for itself.
Whatever. I'm beyond that. The movie,
I'm not. I'm with Zendaya. So I love that Zendaya's not doing press with her.
Yeah, good she's like, you, I won't go there. Yeah.
Really? Get the fuck out of here, you Republican bubblehead.
Yeah, she won't do any Euphoria marketing with Sydney Sweeney.
Oh my
God. The director of Apollo 13.
Yeah. Ron Howard shoots the shit out of this thing, man.
He hasn't done anything I've liked in a while. It's a Hans Zimmer score. Oh shit. Okay, listen, now I have to watch it. I'm going to turn up I'm going to crank the sound for this one too.
I'm telling you, I think everybody's wrong. I thought this movie was not fantastic, but it is really good it's really fun to watch. I really enjoyed it. And I was like, for an entire week, all I read was about this disastrous real life incident. The whole thing is crazy.
It's like an adult Lord of the Flies soap opera.
It totally is.
It's really watchable because it's nuts. It's so insane. The story is nuts.
Yeah. And then you're like, but they made us all up. And then you go read about it and you're like, holy shit, they didn't.
And then the acting is not great. It's just not. So, it's got a great story. And then the acting is Jude Law is super hammy. He's so hammy. Ana de Armas should be.
Everyone's unhinged in this movie.
Yeah. I just feel sorry for Daniel Brühl because I feel
but he is also the only one that's actually acting.
Yes, exactly. He's the only one who's acting. He's the only one who's actually German. So he's the only one that has the correct accent.
He's doing it for Ron. Because of Rush, he's like.
Three people are going to get this joke, but did Ike Barinholtz and Seth Rogen fix the ending? Yeah, there you go. Three people got that one.
I love when he throws his hat at Seth Rogen and Seth Rogen eats it like a pile of bricks. Like he got hit by like something. It was hilarious. That scene's so fucking funny.
That's good.
That Ron episode, Howard that, loses his shit.
Yeah, that episode is incredible.
They're so all good, funny. Like, honestly, the studio deserved all the love that it got at the Emmys and everything.
Eden, really, I recommend it. I think you should see it. It's on.
Yeah, I'm watching it ASAP. I'm all about this.
It's watchable. Is it the greatest movie of the year?
No.
Will it be on our top 10 list at the end of the year? No. But it is. It's watchable and entertaining, if not just for the hammy acting and the shitty accents.
I did 4-star it, and I hearted it too, because I did actually really like this movie a lot.
Amazing. Amazing.
All right, who's next? Who's hitting us with some movies?
I'll go. Why not?
All right.
I have some things. I'll start off really light. I watched the Netflix documentary, Who Killed the Montreal Expos?
Oh.
Guess what? It was greed.
Yeah, it was absolutely greed.
Yeah, and money, still, money.
Still some of the best merch in baseball.
Yeah,
still.
Totally. Yeah. Sad story, not a very good documentary. It's as bad as you kind of think it might be. It's just, you know exactly what it is 15 minutes in, and it goes another an hour and 20 minutes.
Awesome.
Yeah, good stuff. I think Good Boy is a good idea.
Yep.
I just don't know if it works.
Agreed.
Good dog performance, though.
Agreed, 100%.
Yeah. Just don't think it quite works. It's fine, I guess. People like it. I thought it was okay. Springsteen. I love that fucking album. How did you screw this movie up? It's everything about recording the album is great. Springsteen Deliver Me From Nowhere is like just biopic hell for me. I think the acting is decent enough, but I can't get over how poor this movie is. I think Steve liked it, and I apologize there. This movie's not for me. I'm sorry, it's not. Listen to the album.
This is where Marina was referencing this earlier. This is where the conversation came up around biopics while the person is still alive. Like, are just not a good idea.
No.
Like, you're just never gonna get a decent story out of them because and especially like Bruce was on set every day of the filming.
Yeah. One thing I didn't know is that he seemed to really like Terrence Malick. I thought that was pretty cool.
I loved that he was really into Badlands.
Yeah, I thought that was like the coolest part of the entire film. Like,
and the fact that we had a biopic that didn't revolve around sex and addiction and like, it was just like his demons. I was very much more about that. Like, I'm like, I don't need to watch Walk the Line again.
Yeah, just not for me. Christmas on Halloween, I got the new 4K Nightmare on Elm Street box, and I hadn't seen Nightmare on Elm Street Part 1 in like probably 10 years. That movie still kicks ass.
It's so much fun.
Except for the end scene when the mom gets pulled through the door. Oh, yeah, that's so funny.
That's awesome, though. Come on.
It's so hilarious. But now there's also, oh my God, there's the bus scene in Part 2 that's really funny that comes out. Because I got the big 4K set from Warner Brothers. So crawling through some of those ones is hilarious.
Yeah, Part 2 is hilarious.
Yeah, and gay. It's very gay, too. And they didn't know they were making a gay movie, but they made a gay movie.
Yeah. Heather Langenkamp's probably my favorite final girl of all time, which is...
She's really good.
Might be controversial. I know people have their own thing, but she's pretty awesome. And, Johnny Depp getting destroyed. Pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's fun. I hadn't seen it in a while, and I'm quite happy I watched it. And I also watched Part 3, which is a masterpiece.
Yeah, Part 3 is a lot of fun.
Sorry, it just is.
It's fun.
Yeah. Begonia is rad.
Yes.
It's one of my favorites of the year. I had a lot of expectations because Green Planet's really awesome.
And, I've never seen it. I want to see it now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. If I remember correctly, the ending of the Green Planet might be more bleak.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And this one's kind of, this one's pretty,
so look forward to that.
Yeah, it's pretty bleak. Apparently the guy that made the wrote and directed that film, he actually developed Begonia for like the first half of the whole production of that, and then had to step away for whatever reason, but loved the final product. So, and what Yorgos did with
I saw that at VIFF. I think with Bill probably.
And,
and I remember with Colleen, who was a huge fan of this movie.
Yeah, it's that movie was rad. And I must say that I think we might have to start talking about Jesse Plemons as one of the great actors of our generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that conversation already started.
No, but he's really good in this.
Like, I mean, just the one scene in Civil War, I was like, yep.
Yeah. I just saw that again in a reel the other day, just that quick scene in Civil War. And the chilliness of what kind of American are you? Just like
so good.
Oh, and wearing the pink
he's wearing those sunglasses. Yeah,
it's like what the fuck.
Yeah, I'll do you guys a favor. I'll just do a scene in your film. It's fine. Yeah.
It'll be the most chilling thing you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Of the year.
Yeah, it's really going. Yeah, is really great. Good. I can't wait for you guys to see it.
Adrian Aiden Delbis, the cousin. Just holy fuck.
Yeah. Like,
apparently Yorgos cried after his performance. He was just like, for a first time, he was just like, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I do enjoy like normal-ish Yorgos, but I love batshit.
Oh,
Yorgos,
yeah.
It's so good. Like, give me Sacred Deer, once a year, and I'll be happy. I liked Frankenstein. I just don't think it was great, like everybody's saying it is. I thought the middle part really held the movie together.
You're wrong. The creature.
The creature of the old man stuff is really,
and David Bradley was.
It's really good. The Oscar Isaac stuff is fine.
He's definitely he's not the best part of the movie.
No, but Jacob Elordi is great.
Yeah,
he is. He's really good.
He
in this.
Really solidified himself as like a great actor for me in this one.
And
did you see the interview with Bill Hader and Oscar Isaac and Guillermo del Toro, where Bill Hader is just like, I'm watching the movie and I'm like, oh God, Oscar's so good. He's just so good. The scene with the ball and he's throwing the ball and all those lines. And he's like, if I did that scene, that scene would become about the ball. I would be like, and then this. And he's just like, for Oscar Isaac, it's fucking nuts. Nothing.
Yeah.
It's just deliver the line. And yeah, he's really good. But oh man, Elordi and Jacob Bradley. David Bradley. Holy crap.
Good stuff. Also, if you have Mia Goth, don't let her disappear for half the film.
Yeah, she's just gone.
Just gone.
Gone.
Yeah, she's pretty great.
Coolest caskets ever, though.
Yeah, totally. Ever. Those were pretty awesome. And the 35 was pretty sweet. Yeah, Van City's got some good projection going on there. That was good stuff. I miss film like flaws, like weird like flicker or like weird grain structure or something. I like that shit. I miss that. No, I don't like perfect. That's why the 70mm of One Battle was like so incredible, because it didn't look pretty. Mm-hmm. It looked like a 70s film. It was beautiful. More film forever. Enough of my soapbox. Ballad of a Small Player sucked. As Maria said, it looks really pretty, like incredibly shot, but man, just not a good film. The script is terrible. The acting is okay. Colin Farrell is fine, even though he just looks, he's constantly in a flop sweat. It's quite weird. And Tilda's good. Tilda's always good. Yeah, it's just not a very good movie. Skip that one. Watch Conclave again. It's better. Die My Love is awesome. But holy shit, do you need to be prepared? Rose Byrne went up really unhinged, and this feels like the precursor to everybody getting destroyed by Jennifer Lawrence's performance. Like, we'll get you warmed up. Now here's Jennifer Lawrence, and she's just going to destroy for an hour and 45 minutes. Robert Pattinson is in this movie for 20 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just Jennifer Lawrence beating the shit out of herself and crawling on the floor like an animal. Yeah, she's nuts, and it's incredible, and she should win an Oscar.
Damn.
Another Oscar.
No, but like, she's just an incredible actress. Sissy Spacek's also really good. And Gabrielle Rose is in it.
And Nick Nolte, too.
Yeah.
Gabrielle Rose is in it. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's
the last time I saw her, she's getting impaled by a weather vane.
That's true.
Right. I almost forgot.
Through the mouth.
That was such a groovy scene. I love that scene.
A really great scene, actually.
I didn't like Eternity.
No. Oh, okay.
I liked it to a certain point. That I thought the third act was terrible. It just loses focus and gets really messy. And I don't get Callum Turner. Is that another hot take?
Mr. Dua Lipa?
I just don't get it. He's got a very nice jaw. That's about it. I don't know.
He's a classic looking
kid, yeah.
I feel like he's hearkening back to like a Cary Grant era type of attractive dude.
I will say this though. Davon Joy Rudolph is incredible in this film.
She's so funny. I also didn't mention John Early, who's really funny.
Yeah, he's also really great. And those two characters are really funny.
They're the glue of the film.
Yeah.
And how invested they are in this other love triangle is really funny.
Yeah, I think it's a fine film until a certain point that I think it loses focus. Mm-hmm. And it's fine that you like to Steve. Not for me. Black Phone 2 was fine. Maybe I expected more from it. I really liked the first one. Mm-hmm. The switch from who you think is the main character to another character, I thought was pretty cool.
And how they did it, I thought was cool.
Yeah, too. I thought that was neat.
Because I like Madeline McGraw. I think she's pretty good.
And Robert Cargill was really nice to me at Fantastic Fest. So good for him. I like him. Derrickson's a good director. I think he's very talented, and I think it's a decent movie. And I'm really glad it's making money because I don't think it costs a lot, and we need to support small horror. And it's been $100 million.
And thank you for following up the Gorge for something actually good.
True.
Realizing that the Gorge was not good.
True. Being Eddie sucked. Running Man was okay. And Now You See Me, Now You Don't. I really like the first one. I'm ashamed to say that, but I kind of like it. It's fun. And the second one is an absolute piece of crap.
It's so bad.
They forgot that they were magicians. And they kind of remembered it for like 10 minutes in this film, but still forgot. And I'm just like, I want them to be magicians. And they add new people and they're fine. You know, Justice Smith is cool. I like
they're him. All likable people because the actors are all likable people, but that doesn't mean that it's going to make for characters that are likable characters. Then they all just become the same. And then Dominic Sessa and Daniel Atlas are, like you said, the same fucking character.
Yeah. And Rosamund kills. She's incredible.
She's so great.
The movie is absolutely milquetoast and fine. Like there's nothing like nothing really pissed me off. But yeah, it's not very good. Isla Fisher is incredible.
She's in more things. I don't think she was in the divorce, right?
I don't think she was in part two, and she came back for this one. So that's a good addition. But yeah, it's totally.
Honestly, and I hadn't paid attention to the cast really at all, but for a good part of this movie, I was like, who was? Like, I'm trying to remember stuff from two, and I'm like, who was? And then all of a sudden, a character showed up. Oh, right, Lizzie Kaplan. Right, okay, she was in the second one.
She's the fifth horse.
And then she's like pissed off that everyone forgot about her. And I'm like, yeah, because I legit forgot you were in the last movie, and I adore you.
Yeah,
how the fuck does that happen?
it's not fine.
It's a waste of money. I feel like I honestly waste $10.
Like, and it also doesn't help that like I'm pretty sure like Woody Harrelson, Dave Franco, Isla Fisher were maybe worked a week. Like they kind of show up like randomly in the movie, and yeah. and Jesse Eisenberg. He also just kind of shows up like once or twice every 30 minutes.
Is that why they brought the younger ones in?
They're like, I think so. Yeah.
You're cheaper, so we're going to use you for most of this.
Or to maybe pass the torch. I don't know. But yeah, it's sure didn't feel like that at the end of the film.
No, yeah. It did not.
So I'm guessing we see Now You See Me 4 and
in 10 years.
It's
gonna be 10 years.
Yeah. maybe they'll actually do three tricks in this film instead of two.
Gets to take his giant paycheck and go make another independent movie, that's totally fine with
me. I'm cool with that too.
Let's help Jesse make some money.
Yeah.
I just wish he made it. I just wish he would make it easier for us to, digest them.
And maybe Dave Franco can make cards out of the grass from Predator's Badlands and like kill people with it or something. I don't know.
I don't even understand Dave Franco's performance in any of these movies too, because it's just all like, I guess Dave Franco like trademarks made into a character, like line deliveries, like the aw shucks kind of like. Like I don't understand these movies and any sort of appeal to getting them made. I don't get it.
I told a coworker that I saw this film and she was like,
"Why?
Dave Franco's hot, right?"
Oh,
and I'm like, "Is he? Yeah. Is he hot?"
Yeah. You saw my Dave Franco locker, didn't you?
Yeah, like I'm like, I got a film for you. It's called Together.
Yeah.
You'll love Dave Franco in that.
I don't really love Dave Franco, but I love like a combination of Dave Franco and his wife, Alison Brie, like together as a person.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Is that weird? That's my hot. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And my last thing is a TV show. I'm glad Pluribus was made just for me, because that is
that show is
made for me.
You have to line up because Dan is right behind you or maybe right in front. I'm not sure. Show was so good.
This show is made for sickos in a weird way.
Angry people.
Yeah. It is so. And Rhea Seehorn is kind of like the perfect person to have at the center of it. I really dig her.
Yeah. Shout out to Miriam Shore, the it's Zach from Hedwig and the Angry Inch movie.
Yes, she's so good. I really like her. She's like the character, the character actor that my wife will point on. She's like, oh my god, like every time she pops up in something, she's a big fan of hers too. So,
yeah, it's very good. Yeah.
People complained about the third episode, and I'm like, no.
Why? That episode's great.
That episode was rad. The thing of the grenade.
The first episode is like insane. It's so good.
The second episode might be the greatest episode of television I've seen in 5 years.
Yeah, I can go with that.
That's awesome.
And like the whole idea that if she gets pissed off, the 8 million people die. Jesus. Come on. That's incredible. Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Yeah. It's an awesome show. I can't wait. Like it's must-see. Yeah. And in a year of really good TV, that show is our... three episodes in, it's probably my favorite show of the year, easily.
That's awesome.
And that's it for me.
Well, you guys have left me nothing. I feel like everything that I've seen has already been talked about. I'm with you, Bill, on Frankenstein. It did not blow my socks off. I thought it was good. I thought the production value was really great, and I thought Elordi was fantastic. But aside from that, the thing that killed me is there was like all this, like I'd seen all these interviews with Guillermo del Toro talking about like how he had to build the ship because he needed that, like he needed the ship to be a real character and he didn't want to CGI it. And then he fucking throws in those CGI wolves. And I was like, there's nothing that takes me to the uncanny valley faster than a fucking CGI animal. And why would you build a whole fucking ship and then throw these terrible CGI wolves in this story? That was a bad choice for me. Fantastic.
Did you see it at Vanity?
I did not. I saw it at home on my television.
Okay.
The way God intended. No.
I love it.
But that being Christopher Nolan.
The way Christopher Nolan would have wanted you to watch it.
No, that would have been on my phone.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, the Nolan versus
on your phone. But vertical, not horizontal.
That's how I'm watching The Odyssey when it comes out, is I'm waiting for it to be on my phone. I'm going to watch it on a PS Vita.
Okay, so rant on Frankenstein over. And I agree, not enough Mia Goth, because she was phenomenal in every scene that she was in.
Yep.
Even with her terrible French accent. which, again, like, why? Why? You didn't have to have her speak French. She didn't have to be French.
No.
You didn't have to do that. But you did. And anyone who actually speaks French was horrified by that accent. Anyway.
Here's another hot take. Can Chris... Christoph Waltz plays somebody other than Christoph Waltz in every film. Like, it's just like the same character every film. Hot take.
Is that Christoph Waltz's fault?
I don't know.
Or is that the fact that people continually cast him in these roles? Like, it's the same role over and over again.
Yeah. It's the latter.
Like, I mean, the guy needs to work. I get it. He wants a paycheck. But, like, yeah. I don't know. What else did I see? You guys have talked about everything. So I saw two things that are slightly older. One is I rewatched You Were Never Really Here, because I wanted to rewatch a Lynn Ramsey film before I went to see Die My Love, but then I didn't get to see Die My Love this week. So
damn, but I will you, Marina.
Yeah, it's all Marina's fault. But I will say that, the first time that I saw You Were Never Really Here was in the theater, and the sound design of that film just, like, completely knocked me on my ass. So watching it at home was, like, definitely not the same experience. So obviously I need a better sound system in my house, but... it's still a really great movie, but that movie, like, completely fucking floored me in the theater. So, and then I caught up with a movie from a few years back called There's Someone Inside Your House, which was sort of marketed as Gen Z's Scream. And I was like, I don't think this is Gen Z's Scream, but it was fun. Like, it was a fun watch. And hometown hero, Vancouverite Ryan Beale, had a teeny tiny role as a creepy taxi driver or Uber driver. So that got points for me. And then I finally, with my Criterion subscription, finally saw Dog Day Afternoon, which I had never seen before.
Oh,
hell yes. So
good. Yeah.
And it was really great. And also, I think I was really surprised by how sensitively the whole issue of the trans partner was dealt with in the film, because their relationship is actually, like, not that it's a healthy relationship, but what's unhealthy about their relationship is not the fact that Leon is trans. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought that was actually pretty forward thinking for a film from, was it 1975? I think
74, 75. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, just, you know, in this day and age where this is, you know, still such a ridiculous talking point, that you could have this movie come out in 1974, 1975 and be that much more sensitive about, that it was, you know, it's just a relationship between two people, and her transness is, like, might be what has catalyzed the bank robbery, maybe, I guess, because he's trying to fund her operation. But it's, again, like, he's not funding the operation because he needs her to have the operation. Like, there's none of that weirdness. It's like he wants her to have this because she wants it and because he believes it will make her happy. And there's something, like, kind of, like, really quite romantic and lovely about that. And then I think the other thing that I really love about this movie is that essentially the bank staff kind of all are on side with him. Like, there's this, like, certain interesting class solidarity that starts to happen in this film, like, both with the crowd that amasses outside and then also with the bank tellers who are essentially hostages. And that is really interesting too. And I feel like this is, again, something that comes up in these kind of counterculture 70s movies. That, yeah, this probably was quite shocking when it came out. And I love that, like, Al Pacino embraced, like, not only one, but two queer characters in the 70s. Mm-hmm. So that is also kind of interesting. So makes me like him even more.
And John Cazale made like
five movies, six movies,
and they were all nominated for Best Picture. Like nobody will ever have that.
No.
Like, and they're all like five-star classics.
Yeah.
I had not, I didn't know a lot of his backstory until like just recently that I found out that like he was with Meryl Streep and that he passed away from cancer. And he would have had just a monster career. Right? Yeah. Like if any of that, if any of his early movies were any indication, he just would have, he like this, yeah, just a lion of film. And in some really great stuff. I love him in The Deer Hunter as well.
Hell yes. Hell yes. But,
which I think was his last movie, because I think that's when he was sick.
Yeah.
Deer Hunter?
Yeah.
I just wanted also, There's Somebody Inside Your House. Patrick Bryce directed that movie. It was like his first like real narrative film, because he did Creep and Creep 2 with Mark Duplass.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Peach Fuzz.
It was, I mean, there was fun parts of it. Like,
yeah, I was a little let down by it, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I like Sydney Park. I think she's really great. And the mask thing was kind of fun and creepy.
Yeah. There was a couple like a fun little twists to it. But as a whole, it was not hugely satisfying.
If I was Gen Z and someone said this was your Scream,
I would be disappointed.
Like, no.
Yeah, I'd be disappointed.
Yeah.
I was like, why does that really sound familiar? And because I've seen it, I don't remember any of it.
Yeah,
exactly.
No. It's really bad. It's
not memorable.
That's really bad.
But if you're like flipping through Netflix and you can't decide what to watch and you just want to watch like a slasher movie, it's not the worst thing that you could.
Probably watch. Why I watched it. Yeah. I'm looking, I'm like, well, I'm going to add this to my watch list. I'm like, oh, I watched 86 minutes of it. So clearly I watched to the credits. Mm-hmm. Do I remember it? No.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for me, you guys.
Criterion Channel, eh?
Yeah. Oh, the other thing I've been doing is rewatching Stranger Things, because I wanted to get back up to speed before the final
before
season.
Friday.
Yeah, you and Chloe are in the same boat. She's been watching her Stranger Things rewatch. I want no part of it. She came down yesterday. She's like, Tia, I want to watch Stranger Things. I'm like, you have a TV upstairs. You go and do it, kid. If you want to stay down here, we got to watch something else. So we watched Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea.
She wanted to watch a shark movie. I'm like, I don't know what to show her. Dan's like, how about Deep Blue Sea? I'm like,
it is pretty fun.
I'm like, that movie is awesome. We're watching that.
Yeah.
Greatest closing song ever by LL Cool J.
That entire movie more than is one?
Deepest Bluest, I think it's called.
I don't know.
My head is like a shark's fin.
That movie, it's pretty funny.
Yeah. I haven't seen that movie in a very long time, but doesn't like Sam Jackson just get absolutely destroyed?
Oh, he does. That's the best Samuel L. Jackson death scene ever.
Actually, all of the death scenes in that movie are really good, though, because you were like, I remember when we saw it in the theaters and it was like, whoa, they just killed who? He's like, stop filming, what the fuck? And then everybody gets killed.
Yeah. Except LL Cool J, because he hides in an oven.
Awesome. Yeah, it's because of the parrot, man.
Yeah,
oh boy.
Then they were like, "Let's put Indiana Jones in a fridge."
I don't think that movie ever was made.
Jesus.
Yes. I don't remember that.
No, I don't. No, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I don't think that ever happened.
It's all in your imagination.
Sorry, Steven Spielberg, perfect record.
Yeah. Oh boy. All right. So what's upcoming? What do we have to look forward to?
This is very VIF heavy. We've seen a lot of this stuff. November 21st, everybody gets finally to see Rental Family. I don't think
hopefully I do.
And
hopefully
nobody saw it at VIF other than me, I don't think, because they only had one screening. And I was really sad with myself that I like this film because it's so manipulative. And it's good. I felt bad, but I liked it. Sisu 2, The Road to Revenge.
This is the movie. This is the movie.
I haven't even seen the first one yet.
Oh my God. Watch the first movie. Watch the first one. It's so cool.
It's one of those things where everybody's like, you got to see this movie. And then I have it. And have I seen it? No. And it's always like, there's something else to watch.
The reviews I've read for the second one are like, a good movie, like a good action sequel will take what happened in the first one and make it bigger and better and have more resonance. And that's exactly what this film does. So I Yorma Tamila is such a great lead. He's so stoic. I fucking love him. Zizou's awesome. This is the rejuvenation of Rambo, essentially. Like, it kicks so much ass. And this one gets personal because it's the Stephen Lang plays the Russian general that killed his family.
Because of course he
fucking
does.
Lang.
Yeah, because of course he does.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea this is going wide? Like,
I hope so. I saw a trailer for it in my theater. So hopefully I'm getting it.
That'd be cool.
I'm excited for this one.
Train Dreams hits Netflix. I really liked it. It was one of my favorite films of VIFF. If you like old Terrence Malick films, you're gonna love Train Dreams.
I can do that I can definitely do that one for the next film
Because I'm not seeing Wicked.
Yeah, I was wondering how big you were dancing around this because you hadn't brought it up yet. And Zizou came before that and Rental Family came before that. I'm like, he's dancing around like a huge blockbuster film that's coming out on the 21st.
I got nothing.
Neither do I, honestly.
I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it on Wednesday, the early edition screening.
Oh wow. Ooh. Look at you, fancy guy.
Oh, my wife is, this is her week this week. She's pumped.
Yeah. Yeah. If somebody gives me an Oscar link, I will watch it. How about that? That's the only way. There's other stuff, but that's all small. November 26th, a weird, because it's like Thanksgiving, everything opens on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Eternity opens. Steve liked it. I didn't. Zootopia 2.
I like the first one.
I like the first one. It was fine. Yeah. Yeah, looks cute.
And it's got Zihui Kwan.
Yeah. More sloth. Hamnet opens limited and opens wide on December 4th.
Yeah. I won't be getting that one. I might be getting Wake Up Dead Man, though.
The Secret Agent opens.
I love that movie. That movie is...
I need to rewatch
gorgeous.
It.
It's gorgeous. It's really pretty.
That movie is wild.
Yeah, I need to rewatch it.
Wagner Moura is one of the coolest motherfuckers of the year.
All I remember was nothing was like answered in that film. In the
trouble. No, yeah. They're everything's so open-ended. Yeah.
It is answered. You just don't get to see the denouement, which is maybe not satisfying, but you do understand what happened,
I guess. Wake Up Dead Man opens, hopefully.
I'm looking forward to it. I hear good stuff.
It's opening here. They're already selling tickets, so I've already seen it. It's quite good. I quite liked it. It's quite fun. I think it's better than the second one. Thought the first one was pretty fun.
Good.
So
good.
I think it's a pretty good movie. And the only other thing that I know Melissa and I have seen it, Left-Handed Girl hits Netflix.
Yeah, I would bring that one too as a main movie.
I saw about 45 minutes of it.
It's really good. I don't understand.
I can tell you exactly why I left. SFU sucks.
Well, okay. So it was a seating issue. It wasn't a film issue.
No, it was a seating issue.
Yeah.
My back was starting to seize up, and I thought, I need to live another day. I'm going to leave. Plus, I'm hungry. Yeah. VIFF problems. Yeah.
The movie's fantastic.
I look forward to rewatching it. It's very kinetic.
I want to check it out.
Feels like one of the old Sean Baker movies.
There's definitely elements of Florida Project in this.
Yeah,
because you have like adorable child centering the film.
Yeah,
the trailer I saw reminded me of Takeout.
Yeah, I was about to say it's very Takeout. It's what I saw was good. I didn't nothing against the film. I had to leave. I'll look forward to finishing it. But that's it. We've seen everything really big, so it's going to be. I think this might be a lot of repeats the next couple of weeks. Yeah. More like 2 months.
Well, I am okay with Left-Handed Girl as being our movie of the week.
Okay.
Or train dreams. You guys can talk about Wicked.
This would assume that I want to see Wicked on the big screen.
Who do you think? I feel like Wicked too. I forgot.
Mary. Listen, this podcast is clearly divided with the people who don't like musicals, and then Steve and I.
Exactly. Completely valid.
So isn't true. I named Chicago my number one film of that year.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I love Chicago.
Oh, I'm not a big musicals fan, so that is completely valid by me.
I love Moulin Rouge. My wife loves Chicago, too. I love Hedwig and the Angry Inch. I love a lot of musicals.
Hedwig, I fucking love. Hedwig, I actually own in Criterion.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. Chloe wants to see Wicked. When does it open?
It's Friday.
Well, there's a
Thursday. Like this Wednesday?
Yeah. It's in theaters November 21st, yeah.
Okay,
but there's like special fan screenings
Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I might take her to. I need to do something with the child on Friday. Maybe we'll take her to see Wicked.
Let her watch The Ring again.
The Ring 2. I'll let her watch The Ring 2.
Oh, okay. With the deer? The CGI deer fight?
Dude, I don't remember it. It's been so long. But we literally watched The Ring twice in like 2 months. She told me she wanted to see a horror movie. I'm like, I think you're going to be okay with The Ring. I don't know how I decided on The Ring. It was insane. Paramount Plus. She loved it. And she's like, I want to see it again. So we watched it again last week. Just tell her there's no more of them.
There wasn't a movie called The Ring 2.
And there wasn't one called Rings. When you search for it, The Ring 2 is right there.
Or Rings.
Yeah.
Hey, is Rings part of the franchise?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Chloe, I got a new horror film for you. It's called Titane. She fucks a car.
Listen, I want to traumatize her. I want to introduce her to horror movies.
You
want to
see any more DiCarno films?
No.
We're going to watch Raw.
Yeah, that would be really... I said to her, do you like vampires? And she's like, not really. I'm like, oh. So I guess Lost Boys has to wait a little longer.
So you're not going to show her the
Claire Denis? Maybe she doesn't like vampires because she hasn't seen Lost Boys.
This is what I'm thinking. True.
That's the gateway... Wasn't Lost Boys like the gateway vampire movie for all of us?
Yeah.
Near Dark.
I actually think you're right. I'm pretty sure I saw Lost Boys first.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Show her the Claire Denis film Trouble Every Day with Vincent Gallo.
Dude, I am not trying to try.
What are you, Stellan Skarsgård in some sentimental value?
She's fucking 9 years old, okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You showed her The Ring.
I think Claire Denis has to wait.
I didn't know where the line was. You showed her The Ring, so I didn't know where the line was. Listen, I just started throwing Alien, stuff out there.
She's seen Alien and Aliens, and she thinks they're fine. So she thinks Jaws is boring.
She likes Aliens. She should see Under the Skin from Jonathan Glazer.
Yeah.
Well, you said Aliens.
Yeah. Well, come on. I want her to keep loving me, okay? And I want to be able to take her to see more movies.
That's fair.
Did she just turn that guy into Slurpee? Yes, she did.
Watch it again.
Yeah.
Listen, I only have one niece that likes movies. I want to make sure I do this right because I only have one shot at it.
It's fair.
Is how I feel because I don't know if Haley likes movies in general. I don't know, listen to anything she listens to. So I'm like, you know, I have to have something in common with one of my nieces. Mm-hmm. Apparently movies is it. So tread carefully.
She a big Idols fan?
A what?
Idols. They're a UK band. Okay. You know. Okay.
No. Nope.
I do.
Okay. Steve.
Nope.
Okay.
No.
Nope. Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
All right, so we've gone off track. So we don't know what the movie is going to be. It's going to be either Train Dreams or Left-Handed Girl, or maybe both.
Might be both. Yeah. You can watch along too, listeners, because they'll be on Netflix.
Exactly. Yeah. Why not both?
Yeah.
Exactly. Where can folks find you between now and the next show?
I am Bill Harris. I am on Letterboxd at SoundJam69. I'm on Blue Sky at that Bill Harris. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Are you doing Letterboxd correctly?
Correct. No. Totally not.
What is never. Correctly?
I know.
What does that even mean?
I'm kidding. Yeah.
I just have a film list. I just have a film list. That's all I have.
I did see Edgar Wright talking about how he uses Letterboxd to keep track of his movie collection. And I'm like, oh my God, why am I paying $60 a year for a tracking system when I can just use Letterboxd? It feels like it's a genius, and this is what I'm going to do.
That's good.
Yeah. Then you can find me on Letterboxd at the Marina.
I am Melissa McDowell, and you can find me on Letterboxd as at Melzy. And I definitely don't use Letterboxd correctly.
Yeah, you do.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
It's fine. Yeah.
I use it correctly in my sense.
Exactly. Yeah.
It works for me. That's all that matters.
Yep.
It's my mode.
I just like picking on Bill because he creeps Letterboxd.
When people go to my Letterboxd, the main page on it is empty. There's nothing there. I don't update that part. I just have a film list that has like the films I've watched and it has a rating. That is all I have. I'm weird. Thank you very much.
Leave me alone. Get off my lawn. anywhere there is a social media, just type in the Seattle Dead. You will find me or a way to contact me. If not, you can go to my website, stevestebbing.ca. There you will find a show I do with my daughter called What the Hell Should I Watch? My daughter's name is Chloe, and we do that show every week at Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time is when it comes out. I am also on the Night Shift with Shane Hewitt, which is Fridays at 8 p.m. on Toronto's News Talk 1010, which is on the iHeartRadio network. And then you can also find that in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. While you're getting your podcast, you can also look up Tremble the Horror podcast that I do with Kurt and Taylor. Our latest two episodes are on Rocky Horror Picture Show and Little Shop of Horrors. We did musicals.
Two brilliant musicals.
Absolutely. Yay! Two absolute gems of musicals. And I am also on Kelowna's AM 1150 on Fridays, just after the 8:30 news break on the early edition with Gary Barnes. And I love doing that spot because Gary investigates the movies and everything and has follow-up questions for me, and I fucking love it. But that's a new spot I'm doing, and yeah, that's it.
Awesome. So we will be back in a couple of weeks. Until then, you can find links to everything we've talked about at atcpod.ca. Until next time,
hack the planet.
Bye.